Good morning. How are you doing today? Happy Sabbath. Today I want to talk about time and how valuable time is for you. Do you care about time? In fact, it's possible some of you are thinking right now, well, it's 12, you know. It's almost time to go home. You know, it's almost time for lunch. Or it's time for rest. I don't know what are your plans. But as a human beings, we care about time, correct? Now, our perception of times change from different societies. In different cultures, they have a different appreciation of time. Having working with Hispanics and being a Hispanic descendant and direct representative of my race, I will tell you that as a Hispanic, we don't have a good reputation for being on time. And although I like to be on time, so don't count on me as excuse, okay? Because I will be on time. Right? That's one of the things that I despise the most, is being late. But I acknowledge that in our society, we had some difference. And especially if you had the opportunity to visit different events when Hispanics are congregated, you will notice that we had a tendency to start always late, and it's not like a starting point, pretty much. But I remember a few years ago, precisely in summer, one of my colleagues, pastors in the city of Charlotte, was traveling to another country, and he asked me for a big favor. He said, I have a couple that they want to get married, and the problem is I have to go to the university to take some classes, and I won't be able to be present to do the ceremony. Can you please help me and do the ceremony for this couple? And I said, yes, certainly I can. He was my good friend, and I want to support him in any way I can, and he gave me some instructions. He said, the pastor of the church will contact you pretty soon. So if you're okay, I will give him your cell number. That's fine. That's good. So we can get in contact and make plans for this wedding. And the second thing he said, just try to be on time. Is this day, Sunday, 4 p.m. And it happened to be that Sunday, we had some friends to organize a picnic. So they invite us, and I talk to my family. I won't be able to stay for the whole picnic because I have this engagement. I have this wedding that I need to be. And they were fine. We explained to our friends. So what we did is go a little early, and we start the picnic and spend like 2 hours before. And then when it was almost time for the wedding, I said I had to go. And I start driving really fast because I want to be at the church on time for this wedding. You know, it's unacceptable that the preacher get late, especially in a wedding. That's your special day. And what was my surprise when I get to the church that no one was there? No one. So I said, maybe I get the wrong church. And check my notes, and no, this is the church where I am supposed to be. And check my watch, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah, I am supposed to be here, and we are supposed to have a wedding. So I said, that's strange, but let me wait for a few minutes and see what happens. So I stayed there for around 10, 15 minutes, and then somebody showed up. And I said, excuse me, do we have a wedding today here? And they say, yes. And so where is everybody? Oh, don't worry, you know, they will show up eventually. Keyword, eventually, you know, and they will show up eventually. So I say to him, listen, I just left my family and my friends. Used to be here on time for you, for these people that I don't even know. And they don't show up to this appointment, which I'm doing as a favor for you. What I can do is, this is my number. When they finally decide that they want to get married, so you give me a call and I will return. So, you know, what is the point to be there waiting for people when I can go back and stay with my friends? So that's what I did. Just left the church again and go back to the party and talking and eating and having fun. Well, 2 hours later, I get a call. Pastor, we are ready for you now. All right, be there. So I get there to the church 10 minutes later. And guess what? They weren't ready. No, we are almost ready. We have like 99%. We are only waiting for one person. And who is the person? Oh, it's the bride. How interesting. How you can do a wedding without the bride. So we wait for another 10, 15 minutes. And finally, Yeah, she show up, and I remember seeing this young lady. She was under a lot of distress, and I decide this is not the moment to talk about this. This is quite inappropriate. I don't want to create more stress for her. This is supposed to be her special day, so I decide to swallow that frog. You know, like, I won't say anything about this. I'm telling you this story because I feel that some people don't have a correct appreciation of time. Your time is valuable. Amen? And we need to be meaningful, you know, about other people's time. But also, time is a gift from God. And we should be careful in how we use our time. How do you use your time today? Do you think that you are a faithful steward when in reference to time? How much time you spend working? How much time do you spend sleeping? How much time do you spend checking online the news or your Facebook friends or your Twitter account? Maybe you don't do any of these activities, but maybe you enjoy watching TV or watching movies. I don't know. But we all have different ways to spend our time. Is correct? And we don't see anything wrong in the things that we do. In occasions, we think I'm doing the right things. Now, the question that I want to ask is this, and please don't respond yet. Do God care about how we use our time? You think God cares about time? Think about it. He doesn't even get affected by time. You know, God has issues with time, as we do. You think that he will care about time? What the Bible said about time? What do you think? Let's go to the book of Acts in chapter 17. Let me start here really quick because I think this will help us to open our minds. Please open your Bible in the book of Acts 17 and we will read verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. I encourage you to please open your Bibles and read with me. I like when we read together. So if you can, open your Bible and then let's read together. Acts 17, 26. Give you some extra time so you have some chance right there to get your Bible. Let's read it together. And he, referring to God, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all this face of the earth, and he has determined their appointed times, and he has boundaries of their dwellings. So it seems like God cares about human beings to the point that he cares about your time. Your life. God is really careful about the way he behaves, especially when human beings. In reference to Jesus Christ, the gospel mentioned when the appropriate or the appointed time arrived, God sent his son. So it's not like a delay, it's not like an extra time, it's always on time. Perfect timing for God. And the Lord is careful about that. But what about ourselves that we live in 2013? We should be careful about time. What is the Bible any counsel about how we should handle our time? Please let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 because our subject, our teaching is based in this scripture here. Open your Bibles in Ephesians 5 and we will study from verse 15 through verse 20. I'm sorry, 21. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. If you are ready, let's read it together. Amen. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody on your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And in that small portion, I think I have some important lessons that we should share. Let me get applause to you. Now, time is important for God and it should be important for you. And the first verse that we have here has some lessons that we need to pay attention to this. Now, let's go to verse 16 again. Actually, 15 and 16. See that you don't walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So then is the advice, how you can be a wise person or how you can be a fool person. Redeeming the time because the days are what? The word redeeming can be understood in several ways, right? One of the ways that you can understand this word is purchasing time or using something to the maximum that you can be used, correct? So what is Paul trying to say here when he said that we need to be careful with our time? Now, keep in mind that for the Greek people, they used two words for time. One of these words was called chronos. Have you heard that word, chronos? Chronos means time, but like any kind of time. Let's say that a few years ago, such and such event happened. There, they will use the word chronos because it's a time, but it's not like a specific amount of time. We don't know when it happened. It's uncertainty there. Now, they have another word for time that is called kairos. And in this portion of the scripture, the word used is kairos. Kairos is in reference to opportunities, to the right time, to the right moment. And it's for like a specific time. Let's say tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 12 or to 11, we have a war B. I'm being specific, correct? When that event will happen? Tomorrow. Between 7 to what? To 11 or 12, whatever we decide to do. That's kairos right there. So what Paul is saying here is pay attention in how you use your opportunities in reference to time. Why? Well, because the days are what? Evil. What he means when the days are evil? Well, what Paul was trying to say is that the people confront problems every day. And that we don't know the circumstances of our lives, how will be tomorrow. Do you know what will happen tomorrow to you? Can you tell me what will happen Wednesday? We don't know. We have faith that we will be alive, that everything will be the same, and that everything will be okay, correct? But many things can happen from today until Wednesday. We don't know. We assume that everything will be fine, but things can change really quickly, correct? Now, what are the difference make an hour in the life of someone? Can an hour make a difference in someone's life? Are you sure about that? Well, last week they brought someone in Texas to the death chamber because she killed someone a long time ago. That was, I think, person number 500 to be executed in Texas. So for this person, time is no more. She run out of time. So time is a valuable asset because we don't know how long is my life will be. You know, the Lord established different times, and I noticed that some of you have been blessed, you know, and I wish we all have been, you get to be blessed in having good time, good life. But the truth is that Paul is saying, be careful in how you use your time because our life is limited. You know, one of the things that I want to reemphasize today is that when you purchase something, especially something that you want that is expensive, you try to use it to the maximum, right? To get the maximum benefit from this article or this object that you are buying. So it's the same thing with time. How we can use our time wisely, speaking about the things that, you know, God loves to do. How you can do it today as a Christian? Well, you can use your time wisely if you use your time to help others, right? We can use our time wisely if we communicate the gospel to others. When was the last time that you spent a few minutes to minister to someone else? Think about that. When was the last time that you spent a few minutes to help someone that was in need? When was the last time that you visited someone at the hospital? I know it's your time and you are a busy person because we all are busy. We have things to do. But if you take from your time, your busy life, and give to someone that needs some attention, you are doing something really good. An hour, 10 minutes, 15 minutes can make a difference in someone's life. A huge difference. You know, one of the programs that I enjoy here in our community is the Boys and Girls. When they had people that sponsor little kids, they struggle. And you had these adults going there and talking to these kids and trying to spend a little time with them because no one else spent time with them. And it's sad when you see kids that they are begging for attention. What they are saying is, I want some of your time. Please pay some attention to me. And that's one of the mistakes that I make as a father. You know, you work so hard, you get so tired, you get home on occasions that you don't have time for what? For your own kids. Yeah, you made the same mistake that I made. But we can change that, right? We still have time. We can use it in a proper way. Now, Paul is saying, be wise. Don't be drunk with wine. Why he's talking about wine here to Christian people? Well, it happened to be that the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, some of them, they enjoy drinking wine. The real wine, you know, the stuff that get you drunk, you know. Not the wine that Seventh-day Adventists use, you know, the sparkling. No, that's the real stuff. They were getting drunk and they were doing these things, and Paul is saying, hold on. That's not the right way to live. You are wasting your life. Pay attention to the important things. Use your time wisely. Care about God. Avoid that things. Now he's moving to another subject. He's not talking about time. Now he's talking about behavior. He's saying, please, when you talk to someone, be kind, be loving, be encouraging. Right? He's saying, talk in psalms. We don't speak in psalms anymore, right? It sounds like we are. I remember one of my brothers started talking and praying in, you know, the old English. How art thou and thee. I always get confused with that, I'm telling you. But he loved to do that. And I think it's very elegant, it's very eloquent. But it's not that practical today, to be honest. But what the Bible is saying here is, be careful in how you use your words. Because you can live, you can build, or you can destroy. Correct? We have a lot of people that they are not at church because somebody says something really hurtful to them. Somebody says something very abrasive, and they decide, you know what? This is not for me. I don't have to endure this anymore. But now we have another opportunity to change the way how we speak, the way how we behave. Please, let's go back to Scripture again. And let's go to verse 18. And do not be drunk in wine, in which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit. So Paul is saying, don't use wine to get inspired. What you need is what? The Holy Spirit of God. He will inspire you to do the right thing, to say the right things that you need to do. You know, it's amazing how God works. I've been in occasions in my life, and probably in your life too, that somebody talk to me later, months, and say, Pastor, thank you for what you did. And then you start thinking, what this person is talking about? I don't remember doing anything for you. And yes, I remember that X day you were talking and you say this and this and that, help me. And I want to be quite honest with you. I'm in this line of job because it made me happy when I see that I can do something for someone else. That brings me happiness. That's what I'm doing, what I do. You know, like you, I can select any other kind of business or kind of activity. But God called me here, and it really made me happy when I see someone being baptized. To me, that's a miracle right there. It's amazing that somebody's opened his heart or her heart to Jesus. That's something that is unique. Especially if you are the person who have spent time with them and giving the Bible studies. When that friend finally say, yes, I want to be baptized, that's something exciting, right? And you see, amen, this is something that I feel really, really happy. It made me happy. It gives sense to my life. Because in our life, we had a bunch of things that in reality, they don't have any value. We place value today in things that they are senseless. You know that the amount of time that our kids and even adults spend today online is amazing. Hours and hours and hours. I used to joke a long time ago, I used to have a farm. And probably some of you do, we used to do. You remember, you know what I'm talking about, right? Facebook, like years ago when I used to have a Facebook account, I don't longer have a Facebook account. I will tell you the details later. Offered a little game that it was called Farmville. So in that game, you purchase a little piece of land, and you start planting different kind of crops and collecting. Have you played, anyone? Never played that? All right, I'm talking to the wrong crowd here. But since I started my confession already, I need to finish the story, right? Right. It's one of these games that they offer online, quite addictive, until one day I realized what I'm doing is, you know, it's a waste of time. It's dumb. I just need to quit this, and that's what I did, you know. But I'm telling you, a lot of people is doing that today. You get online because you want to get a fantasy world different from the reality that you're living. You want to escape from what is going on in your life. So that's how people invest their time. You know, trying to find a solution, some happiness, some escape. What is your deal? I don't know. But we all use different ways to escape from reality. Now, let's keep reading here in the Bible. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the most interesting things for me from these passages. Do we always say thank you, God, for what happened to me today? You know, once we were having this Wednesday, you know, for prayer, and I remember this sister saying, Lord, thank you, because today they fired me. And I started thinking, this sister is losing it, you know, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, thank you for they fired me. So you are an employee and you're saying thank you. And then after the meeting, you know, I talked to her and said, why are you saying that? Well, the Bible says that you should always say thank you to God. Yeah, in all things. That's right here. That's what we read, right? And that was a big lesson for me, because most of the time we don't say thank you for the bad things, right? We say thank you for the good things, the bad ones we skip. That's not from God. How do you know that trial, that temptation, that circumstance that you are happening right now, that you are passing through, is not from God? How do you know? Have you experienced that some things, really bad things that happen to you, can become blessings later? Yes. That happened to me. I remember once being laid off in Christmas time, 2001, after, you know, the whole issue in the 9/11. The company that we were working doing furniture, they laid me off. You know, just no more work. 6 months trying to find a job, and finally, the Carolina Conference contacted me and said, we need somebody to help us to plant a church. You see, small windows of opportunity that God opens. That I'm pretty sure that if I have a good job and I was working, I would probably say, you know what, I can. I have a family to support. I have bills to pay, like everybody. I cannot go and leave everything, sell my house and go there. But the circumstances were to the point that I had nothing to lose. We sell the house. We put everything in one of these trucks, move to a different city, and start a new adventure with God. So that can happen to you. For a difficult time, for something that is bad, a blessing can come to you. You know what? What made me really excited is, although we live in difficult times today, more than ever, we need to be aware of the sign of the times. Don't get like scared or afraid, but pay attention to what is going on. Today we were talking in Sabbath school about the new changes in the law. What really marriage means today for society. How it's redefined today. How things are changing in your eyes. And remember what Jesus said, that in the last times it will be like in Noah's time, people getting married and giving in marriage. You remember that? It's a devaluation of the moral values. Nobody cares anymore about that. Our society is crumbling. But pay attention, because they are signs of what? Of the times that we are living. So we have amazing opportunities coming to us in the future to witness about God, to do some good for God. And it depends on you, and it depends on me, how we use our time. Amen? My prayer for you today is that whatever comes to your hands, whatever opportunity God gives you to witness, to share, that you use it. Because in reality, that will bring happiness to your heart. Amen? Let's pray together here as a church. Our Heavenly Father, help us today to be careful uses of the time that you give us. Lord, thank you for this amazing resource, talent. We don't know for how long we will be here, but whatever the amount of time that you give us, help us to do it and use it right for your cause. In Jesus' name, amen.